I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This morning, Brother Lindsay made reference to this passage of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, the Scripture declares, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross is to those that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the cross is not the proclamation of the event of the crucifixion. The preaching of the cross is the declaration of that which Almighty God has eternally purposed, according to the everlasting covenant of God's grace and the consummation of that covenant on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood and the final salvation of all of God's elect, the calling unto himself of all that he's everlastingly loved. Everything that God Almighty has purposed to save a people, that's the preaching of the cross. Now, the Scripture declares the preaching of that which God has eternally purposed, what Christ did, what happened at Calvary. That message to those that are perishing is foolishness. Oh, but to those that Almighty God has given a heart for Christ, there's the power of God. Now, as I read that scripture, I began to think, now for someone to consider the preaching of a cross to be foolishness, there's something that they have in their mind to compare that to. They're comparing it to something. And as they compare the preaching of the gospel to what they believe, they come to this conclusion: that's ridiculous. That's foolishness. What is it that those that are perishing, what is it that they believe? What are they comparing the message of the gospel of God's grace? What are they comparing it to? There's three things that I know, at least three things that I know, that those that are perishing must believe if they're going to say that what God has to say is foolishness. They got to believe something. Let me tell you the first thing that they believe. They must believe that in some aspect that Christ was a failure. Now here's what I mean when I say that. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried from the cross, "It is finished." To what was he referring? Well, and I want to be simple. I don't want to say this in a complicated way. I want to be able to just say it truthfully from God's word. What does God have to say? What was finished? That which God Almighty had eternally purposed. The salvation of God's elect, the atonement, the covering, redemption, finished. What Almighty God had eternally seen, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, it's finished. That which God had purposed, the redemption of a particular people, the Lord said, it's finished. The work is done. Now, here's what those that are perishing compare that to. They say that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of the sins of all people that have ever been born in this world. He made a universal atonement. Somebody was going to have to die. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, died. And because he died for all the sins of all the people, then salvation is possible to those that will accept it. Well, if he died for all of the sins of all of the people, if he's paid the debt, and one person goes to hell for whom Christ has died, then something's wrong. The Lord was truly not able. He wanted to save everyone, but the problem is that he couldn't, because man didn't accept what he did. Therefore, maybe it wasn't finished. The preaching of the cross, when he said, "It is finished," those that are perishing say, "That's foolishness. It wasn't finished." I had a woman come to me one day and was going to take me to task on what I believe concerning particular redemption. And she informed me that I was grossly wrong. And I said, "I have one question. I'll just ask you one question." I said, "When it comes to salvation, when the Lord declared, 'It is finished,' I want to know who has the absolute last word, who has the last word in salvation? God or man? Who has the last word?" And she said, "Man." I said, unless the Lord is pleased to deliver you from that lie and give you a new heart to believe the truth, you're going to perish. And she stormed out. Bobby. Those that are perishing when they hear the preaching of the cross, they consider what the Lord said, it is finished, to be foolishness. And the Lord said in Isaiah 42:4, he shall not fail. He shall not fail. Secondly, they don't believe, and I'm going to tell you this now. I'm going to tell you the same thing twice. One of them in light of those thinking it's foolishness. And I'm going to tell you the same thing again. And it's going to be in light of those that are being saved. It has the power of God. Here's the second thing. Those that are perishing, they don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has an elect people that he's going to save. They don't believe that. Now, I want you to hold your place right there and turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:21. Now listen to what the Lord says. Ezekiel 36, verse 21. Here is the word of the Lord, Ezekiel 36:21. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. Now, I'm going to speak, the Lord said, to my people. And those that have ears to hear are going to hear what God has to say. Hearing ear, seeing eye, they're of the Lord. I want you to say unto the house of Israel, verse 22, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out from all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. I will be your God. You think God Almighty is going to do just exactly what he said he's going to do? He said, I will and you shall. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, was dying for somebody. John 10:15 tells us for whom he died. And this is who he died for. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Some Pharisees asked him later, said, why don't you just tell us plainly? He said, I told you. And you believe not. Why? because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. When the Lord Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he was dying for those that God Almighty, his Father, had given him. In electing grace from before the foundation of the world, he died for his bride. He died for his church. And the Lord says, I will and you shall. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those that are perishing say, that's foolishness. Thirdly, those that are perishing, this is what they compare the preaching of the cross to. They don't believe that man truly died spiritually in the garden. Therefore, this is what they truly believe. They don't believe God. Now, they don't believe God. Now, you won't get one to admit that. If you ask them, say, do you believe God? Absolutely. I believe this cover to cover. I believe the Lord told Adam, you can eat of the fruit of all these trees except one. Now, in the day that you eat, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to die. And Adam took of that fruit and he ate. And the scripture says, their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. And here's what he did. They took some fig leaves and they were going to make themselves a covering to hide their nakedness before God. They died spiritually and hid themselves from the Lord. Man that is perishing does not believe that man died in the garden. He still has a free will and compares what God has to say to what he believes, that he is not dead spiritually. I can, man says. Now here's what God says. Oh, let me just read it. I got it written down here, but I'm going to read it. John 1. Turn there with me. John 1. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. John 1, 11. The scripture says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Almighty God says that men are born again, born from above, born spiritually, new birth, regeneration. They're born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of blood. They're born of God, and those that are perishing say, that's foolishness. It's foolishness. Man died in the garden because of disobedience. By one man's disobedience, mankind
died to. Man has no ability to pay his debt owed to God's broken law. He has no ability to live. Man is a dead, spiritually dead sinner against God. The wages of sin, death. The soul that sinneth shall die. Man is a fallen, helpless, spiritually dead rebel against God. And those that are perishing say, that's foolishness. Almighty God has declared the truth. And man by nature tells God, that's foolishness. Now, what is the preaching of the cross to those that are being saved? I know what the scripture says the preaching of the cross is to those that are perishing. It's foolishness to them. But listen to what a believer has to say concerning the preaching of the cross. That which Almighty God has eternally purposed. The preaching of the cross is to those that being saved, the mercy of God Almighty. Man, I told you I was going to tell you the same thing twice. Man is a spiritually dead sinner. And you know what a believer is going to say? I was born a spiritually dead sinner. Dead in trespasses and sins. A rebel against God. And Almighty God in His infinite mercy, God Almighty said, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And those that are being saved will say this, Lord, if you had not shown mercy to me, if you had not shown compassion to me, Lord, I'd have gone straight to hell as a rebel against you. Lord, I died in the garden because of disobedience. I was ruined in the fall. The wages that were owed to me is death. Lord, you're the God of all grace and mercy. That you would show mercy to this sinner, I have you alone to thank. I have no will to come to you, but that you made me willing in the day of your power. Secondly, not only is the preaching of the cross the declaration of the mercy of God, the preaching of the cross declares the wisdom of God. Let me ask you, from the scriptures, here's a question. I was talking to Mark this afternoon, and I may have mentioned some of this to some of you before, but I had someone in Franklin, Tennessee that had come to the services and had heard me preach a couple of times, and he had this question. Now you listen to this question. He heard what I was saying. And he said, I've just got one question for you based on what you're saying. He said, you're saying that Almighty God is a just God. I said, yeah. He said, you're saying that the soul that sinneth is going to die. I said, yeah. He said, you're saying that every man, every woman born into this world is a sinner. I said, yeah. Well, then how can God be just and save a sinner?
I said, if Almighty God ever teaches you the answer to that question right there, I said, you will see and declare the wisdom of God.
How can God be just and justify a sinner? God must punish sin. Is that not right? Yes, that's right.
He, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now you talk about a scripture that is absolutely the point of contention between men. Here it is right here. He, the Father, hath made him, the Son, sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here's wisdom and here's power. That the preaching of the cross is to them that are being saved the power of God. How can God be just and justify a sinner? I know Brother Don has dealt with this many times, and that's good. Because let me tell you this, this is our hope right here. Brother Scott Richardson made this statement one time, and I thought to myself, that's a great statement. I want to remember that one too, along with the others. He said, where the Lord puts a man, he keeps him there. Before the foundation of the world, the Father chose a people in Christ. What does that mean? To be represented by. To be represented by. To be the one who would answer for. To be the surety. To be the Redeemer, to be the Savior. And from the time, if I can say it like this, I have to say it like this. I don't know how to speak eternal. Everything I say sounds like time. So I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to articulate the words, but the Lord eternally chose a people in Christ. And where he put them, there he kept them. And the Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time into this world. And all that were in him were in him. He came into this world as the surety, as the Redeemer, as the Savior. You should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he came into this world and all of his people in him, represented by him, and lived as their federal head with them in him. And he went to Calvary. And the scripture says that the Father made him sin. Again, I'm sure I've told you this. Talking to Brother Scott, he was there 7 years after I went to Katy, and for 7 years I had the privilege to be able to sit under a pastor that Almighty God was pleased to teach me some things, I pray. And I sat down with him one day and I said, Brother Scott, I want to ask you something. I said, when the Lord was made sin, I said, I've tried to look at that scripture and I've tried to have some understanding on what it is saying. I said, when Christ was upon the cross, he who knew no sin, the holy, harmless Lamb of God, God Almighty made flesh, hanging upon that cross, the Father made him sin. And upon that cross hung our Redeemer, made sin, and all of us in him. And Almighty God, in absolute justice, poured out his wrath upon him who was made sin, and us in him. And justice was satisfied. It was after this, you have to remember, that we remember those blessed words, "It is finished." God is just. I said, "Brother Scott, I hold my breath. I don't want to say that wrong. I don't want to say that in the wrong way." I said, he told me, and I'll never forget that finger. He said, "I know you want to be respectful." He said, "That's right to be respectful. But don't you ever try to water down. Don't you ever try to sidestep. Don't you ever try to tiptoe through the tulips and make the scriptures say anything other than what it says. He was made sin and died as the substitute of his people. And he paid the debt that you and I could never pay. If he did not die being made sin for me, what I am by nature, then I don't have any hope. He died the ark in which Noah was safe. The wrath of God fell on that ark. Why was Noah, his wife, his three boys and their wives, all those animals, why were they safe? They were in the ark. The wrath of God that was spewed out on everybody else was spewed out on them too. Why were they safe? They were in the ark. Why are we safe? Because we were in him. The Apostle Paul said this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Who but the all-wise God could put his people, choose them in his Son from all eternity, and in time justly deal with them in a substitute? A substitute. This is what the world considers foolishness. But to us that are being saved, there's the power, the wisdom of God.
God Almighty. God was in Christ reconciling the world, Jew and Gentile, all of his elect, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He made him sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God in him. Thirdly, closing, the preaching of the cross is the greatest exhibition, the mercy, the wisdom, oh, but the love of Almighty God. The world believes that God Almighty loves all men without distinction, and cites this verse as their great verse of proof. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let me ask you something. Is that verse true? Absolutely. Absolutely. Knowing that that verse is true, for God so loved the world, what does that scripture mean in light of God's sovereign electing grace? I had a lady again in Franklin. Got some of the best questions I ever got, I guess, at Franklin. Lady asked me this. She said, can you explain to me John 3:16 in light of God's sovereign electing grace? How do you reconcile John 17:9? Now listen, the Lord said, I pray not for the world, but for those that you've given me out of the world. How do you reconcile John 3:16 with Romans 9:13? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Is there inconsistency with God? Absolutely not. Look up the word world. God so loved the orderly arrangement. The scripture declares that out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, God has a people. And Almighty God has chosen out of this world, out of this orderly arrangement. He made an order called man. There's an order of birds. There's an order of four-footed beast. There's an order of angels, that one flesh is not like another flesh. It just, God said, let us make man in our image. So God, out of the dust, formed a man and breathed into him life. Life. And this is what God said. It's good. It's good. And he said concerning his son. Oh, you say, well, he said that about Adam. Well, Adam was a type. It's not good that the man should be alone.
Almighty God chose a bride for his son. Out of the mass of humanity that Almighty God loved, made man. He chose a people and gave them to his son. Out of that order, out of that orderly arrangement, and out of the mass of humanity, the Lord's bride, his people in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ eternally betrothed himself to her and loved her. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Who? All that the Father giveth me. And in time, because of his love for her, his love for his people, his love for his church, his love for his bride, he came into this world to redeem her. Why? She's his. You're mine. You're mine. She was given to him in electing grace. She's his by redemption. And she's his by giving her a new heart. And she willingly comes to him and asks him for mercy. And you know why he shows mercy to her? Because he was pleased to. And he loved her. He loved her. He loves her. As the guarantee, as the surety, I tell you this, whenever Judah said to his father Jacob, he was talking about Benjamin, but you listen to the words of Judah, and let our great Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, be the one speaking these words to his father concerning his people. Here's what he said. You know, he was going to have to take Benjamin's youngest brother into Egypt. Oh, his dad didn't want, oh, don't take, not Benjamin. And Judah said, I'm going to stand as surety for him. And he said, I'm going to give you this word. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. And I'll tell you this. He shall not fail. He shall not fail. God so loved the world. Out of this orderly arrangement God had made, God had given him a people. And because he loved her, he gave his only begotten son. And he redeemed her. And whosoever, who's the whosoever's? All that the Father giveth. Whosoever believeth in him, not going to perish, but have everlasting life. The preaching of the cross declares that God Almighty is holy and must and shall deal with sin in absolute justice. The preaching of the cross declares that the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely stood as the substitute upon which the wrath of God fell, while all of God's elect were safely in him. The preaching of the cross declares that he died for them, that the law has been honored, and God Almighty is satisfied.
their sins have been put away. The scripture says that God cast them as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's far enough. Behind his back, the preaching of the cross is to those that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are being saved, here is the wisdom of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. May the Lord bless the word to our understanding, granting us faith to believe according to his everlasting purpose, for Christ's sake and for our good.